Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There, you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Our first two podcast episodes were concerning over 1,000 scammers that we had tracked in recent months, many of whom were advertising on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites, and they still are. Now, those two episodes are by far the most downloaded to date. We have reported many of them to Meta, the owner of Facebook, and they're doing nothing about it because they profit from running paid ads by these scammers. Well, unfortunately, scams and scammers never rest, and already we have more ways that they're scamming people to tell you about. Their brains never turn off. They constantly come up with new cons to run on unsuspecting folk. That's why it's so important for you to remain on guard and be skeptical of anyone who reaches out to you unsolicited and offers you a so-called great deal. So today we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of the latest con jobs that have been brought to our attention so that you can know what to look for out there. But before we get on to this episode, did you know the average publisher takes 4 to 6 months to get a book on the market? And most publishers make their money from the initial setup fees that you pay to get the book published. And those can cost you anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000. But it doesn't have to be that way. At BookLocker, we get your book to market in just 1 month. And it won't cost you what most publishers charge. We can publish your book for as little as $975. Now, how can we do that? BookLocker breaks even on its setup fees, and we actually earn our profits from book sales. Secondly, the other guys have large overhead costs like office buildings, overseas call centers, and salespeople to upsell you on additional services that you don't need. But we don't do that. BookLocker has been in business since 1999, and we've always kept things simple and low cost. Contact us at booklocker.com. That's booklocker.com to see what we can do for you. Get your book published fast and have money left in your pocket when it's all said and done. Again, that's booklocker.com, booklocker.com. Now for today's trip down Skid Row, we're bringing on another guest. His name is James Walsh, Esquire. He's a lawyer in Pennsylvania who's been helping us do a lot of the research into these scamming operations, and he's helped us tunnel deep into these rabbit holes to help find the connections between a lot of these scammers. And that's the scary thing. When we discuss scammers, it's no longer just some guy with a computer in Nigeria claiming to be a prince needing your money. These are now companies with multitudes of people reaching out into the world, including foreign call centers. And they're creating professional-looking websites at a rate that we can't even keep up with. And they're successfully bilking individuals out of tens of thousands of dollars, and in some cases, hundreds of thousands. James has been a great help in forming the big picture on how big this problem really is. He's also the co-author of an awesome crime novel called Maximum Impact that you can find on booklocker.com. James, welcome aboard, and how are you doing today?
I'm well. How about yourself, Brian?
I'm good. Now, I had kind of a shortened bio for you. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit more than what I gave everybody?
It's never easy to talk about yourself, right?
I don't know. I have a pretty good time doing it.
Well, obviously, my education, my background is legal. I spent my first 4 years, 4.5 years in the military. I was in the U.S. Navy, stationed in at Groton Submarine Base in New London, Connecticut, and then I did a split tour and was in Naval Air Station Sigonella, Sicily, primarily in defense work. I did dabble in tax and also in prosecution, but predominantly criminal defense work. After the military, my endeavors took me into leasing and real estate development and asset management. Kind of hopped around the country there, and most recently, I spent 2 years in Alaska working for Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, which was a program primarily funded through the federal government, which assisted the Tlingit and Haida Native tribes with the medical care under the Indian Self-Determination Act.
You've been busy.
That's awesome.
Okay, Angela, how'd you like to tell us a little bit about how you and James found each other?
Well, first, James has an interesting story to tell about how he became a scambuster.
Take it away.
Well, oh, you did. This is on me.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We're gonna make
Oh
you
no.
talk. Yeah.
I thought that Andrew's going to weigh in, but I kind of tripped into this whole journey. A friend of mine, I was actually teaching English in Sicily, and I reached out to a friend who I had read. He self-published, and he had written a book, and I was dealing with this gal who was from Poland and living in Italy. Actually, a psychologist, and I was giving her English lessons, very refined in terms of her language skills. So the final step in the process is to teach colloquial English, and you don't realize how colloquial we speak until you've been with a student who's been taught formal British English or even formal American English. So her final step was to learn colloquialisms and expressions and slang, and so I reached out to my friend and said, "Hey, loan me your novel or send me your novel, and I'd like to use it with this gal." And next thing you know, we're embroiled in putting together Maximum Impact, which is a novel that we co-authored and published through BookLocker. And
Is
but prior
that,
to that, I'm sorry.
can I ask a question?
Sure.
So the novel that he sent to you to work with her, was that a different one than Maximum Impact?
Yes. Yeah. He had,
Oh,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah. It was a different novel. It was. He's only published two novels, one with myself, and then the previous novel. I'm scrapping here. It's the novel's name is Blackball, but like I said, I thought it'd be a great tool to teach colloquial English and expressions and slang. But in any event, so we tripped into co-authoring Maximum Impact, and I mean, we weren't even a couple of chapters into the book, and he's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on Messenger telling me, "Hey, I just signed a contract." And I'm like, "You did what?" I mean, it just caught me by surprise, a little impetuous, but almost from the inception, my radar was just going crazy, saying, "Danger, danger, danger, something's not right." And ironically, I mean, that we kind of diverged because he took it hook, line, and sinker as this is a golden opportunity. Everything is on the up and up. Eventually I express concerns and frustration and what ifs and why ifs and just questioning things that didn't make sense. And I can give you an example, and I still think of it to this day, and it's been over a year. But the first conversation I had with this Oliver Grant, who was our senior consulting agent in Publishing Mojo,
Are you sure that was his name?
A textbook scammer. No, I know his name, but the first thing, and it resonates in my mind. I said to him, he called me Jimmy, which kind of shocked me because nobody calls me Jimmy unless you're from the East Coast. And so I immediately said, "So you're from the East Coast?" And the line kind of went dead. Like, if I had been looking directly at him, I'm sure he glazed over. He had no idea what I meant. And that was the first clue that I'm going, something's wrong. And then, he says he's in California, but yet he has an office in Florida and an office in Bellingham. And it just tumbled from there. It was just a comedy of errors. And
So basically, you found out that you were dealing with a publishing scammer.
yeah. And in the frustrating part is that my co-author, took his word as gospel. And whereas, my, like I said, my radar was just going crazy. And of course, it was much like the pig butchering that is it Victoria Strauss from Writer Beware?
She's awesome.
I think that's what she calls the process, pig butchering, when they, are constantly stringing you along, exacting more and more money, and without even asking me, which is fine. I mean, he agreed to pay roll the project, but without even consulting or bouncing things off of me, he was shelling out dollar after dollar after dollar. When I say dollar after dollar, I mean it culminated in almost $6,000. 5,250, I think, was the final figure, and then an additional 875. But it just crazy. Any as you've intimated before in previous podcasts, Angela, is any slight change, culminated in additional fees. And so and it created a chasm between myself and my co-author. I mean, there we finally, we did have some blowouts, and finally, I'm not sure what made him come around, but what happened was we actually played our animosity. Once he came to realize that he had been scammed, we continued that animosity to dupe our predator, Oliver Grant, and we turned the tables on him, and we were able to get back. My initial agreement was the full sum, and for whatever reason, my co-author agreed to, I believe it was $3,200. So he got 3,200 back out of 5,250, which, I mean, as you well know, it's virtually impossible to get money back from these scammers.
And that was only after you wrote articles about this scammer on writersweekly.com, and they contacted me and they were wanting us to remove those articles from our website. And well, of course we didn't, but your co-author still got at least part of his money back.
So now, how did Angela, how did you wind up joining forces with James? Because there's something had to happen between him getting scammed and him writing articles for Writers Weekly.
Well,
So what happened?
he and his co-author had already been being scammed. Of course, I didn't know that. So I belong to several author and writers groups on Facebook. And some of those groups, we'll talk about that today, are actually moderated by scammers. So I go in there, I look at the post, and every time I see a scammer hit somebody with a spam post or please PM me or whatever, I go scammer and post an article link to Writers Weekly about where we talk about how to watch out for these people and what they do. And I saw another guy on there who was doing the same thing I was. He was going on there and calling him out. And I'm like, I need to meet this guy. So I went to his profile, clicked to private message him. And then James just told me this the other day. He said when I first contacted him, he thought I was a scammer. So James, you pick it up from there.
No, yeah, I mean that is true. I mean, obviously, I was jaded at that point. I mean, I've made reference to this. Don't people think lawyers are imbued with all these superpowers? But the bottom line is, this whole process, I'm as virgin to this process as anyone who was just put pen to paper, because that's the exact position I was in. I mean,
Yeah,
my
but
background, you clearly
had the passion to go further than most people, because most people, when they get scammed, they kind of just crawl off and, okay, I lost a bunch of money.
Well,
and even if they're able to get that money back, they don't actively start, you know, looking for them on Facebook and jump, you know, getting out there. Hey, you're a scammer. So
James is very passionate.
Yeah. Although we're seeing more of that nowadays. Yeah.
No, actually, yeah. And that's refreshing, because it took a while to rattle the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, even from the inception, actually, I guess, to a certain extent, Angela emboldened me, or at least fortified me, because I was questioning myself at the inception. There were times before I, you know, hit send on those emails or hit, posted something negatively to these scammers' Facebook posts, I was questioning myself. I was fence sitting, and now I'm resolute, and I have absolutely, I can peg a scammer within minutes. But when I initially started, I just, I had that trepidation. Am I doing the right thing? And am I right? I guess, connecting with Angela, as I said, emboldened me. And then we've kind of joined forces, really, and began. I remember sitting in a coffee shop, and I'm like, wow, we have 25 scam sites. And I honestly thought, that's incredible. And here we are now at over 1,000. It's mind-boggling.
And it's good what you're doing, both of you, because what it is, you're kind of jumping in and doing the hard work for most folks. But then through that, you're able to build kind of a template to explain how to other people. Here's what you look for when when somebody's soliciting you, or you're looking for somebody's services, here's what to look for to see if they're a problem. So,
and we will put a link to that article underneath this episode. But James and I kept running into each other on the writing and author groups over and over and over again. And we were both noticing the same thing. So in the beginning, like James said, it's kind of, gosh, is this a scammer? Isn't it? Mm-hmm. He was still under the learning curve. Yeah. Now, seriously, three words from them and a couple other things, and you just know they're a scammer.
Yeah. But you all do. I've watched you, and you go through multiple confirmations on each one. You're not reckless about this.
James sends me screenshots. We get screenshots. I should probably explain how this process works. James started a spreadsheet,
mm-hmm.
I think before I even met him, and he shared that with us, and we started adding more and more names to the spreadsheet, names, website, phone numbers, addresses, because you can sort them certain ways and you can figure out, oh, all these companies have the same address, or these ones have the same phone number. Of course, they're all overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And then James would start reporting these to Facebook and copy me on the emails, and he included screenshots of everything he found. So everything, every accusation we've made about every company that we've featured on our website, we have tons of screenshots to back them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and James is outstanding at research.
Well, why don't we start with the first kind of new operation that we've seen going on, and that's the that's where people are receiving some kind of contract from a publishing company saying, "Hey, you sign this with us, and we're going to see to it that you get your books placed in 500 or 1,000, outlets of a big," and we're I'm going to let you explain why we're not going to say the name, but a big bookstore.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. What are y'all finding here?
Go ahead, James.
No, I was going to say that the classic, the flare in the sky is 50 plus platforms.
Mm.
Publish your book on 50 plus. That's what Angela and I have kind of, at least between us, it's not very scientific, but we're convinced that there's four or five significant cartels. Mm-hmm. And one of them is the 50 plus platform cartel. That's the name that we had given it. But
there's also the feather cartel. A lot of them have feathers in their logos, which is bizarre.
Is this
the writing quill?
Same one doing the.
Uh, Yes.
The I can't say the name of the company thing. Okay.
Okay, it's
So
not that you can't say the name of the company. It's what Brian's referring to is
a
the
big box player.
big box bookstore scam.
Yes.
And the email comes from the so-called publisher. The contract from the bookstore chain uses the bookstore's logo. It looks legitimate. However, and
All
we'll put
right.
a link in.
Let me make sure that I'm clear on what you're saying
Okay.
is people receive an email that contains a contract that's supposedly coming from the bookstore chain through a publisher.
Right.
Now, this could be a scammer pretending to be a publisher, or it could actually be an active publisher that we have identified before as not doing right by those who sign up with them.
Yes, I've actually seen one of these email bookstore scams come from a publishing services company located in the United States.
Yes, and I know that we've done articles
Articles
on
about that
that
company.
particular publisher before.
Right.
Reason we're not giving you specific names is because the names aren't as important as understanding when you get one of these. It doesn't matter what names are on there.
Doesn't
It
matter the
is
publisher name or the bookstore name.
we're going to
It's all the
explain
same
why
scam.
this is a scam.
Right.
James, what were you going to say?
No, well, what you were referencing to this big box scammer, this big box book seller scammer, the individual involved in that actually represents themselves as a senior employee of that big box retailer. So
Okay.
it's not just a publisher using that big box retailer. It's somebody who purportedly is a senior member of the big box retailer. So
Okay. So let's set it up. Somebody listening to this right now, tomorrow they open up their email. They get this email from a quote publisher saying, "Here's this contract from a pick your bookstore. Think of a big bookstore.
trust
There
me,
you
they're
go."
using it.
And they're going to say, "If you sign on with us, we guarantee we're going to have your book in over 500 or up, well, actually up to 500 outlets for this big bookseller." Okay, Angie, go. What's wrong with that email?
The specific one that we wrote about in Writers Weekly last week, they wanted the author to pay $26,000 to print all those books up front.
Okay, $26,000 up front, print all
And
those books, and we quote guarantee that it's going to end up in all these bookstores. Okay.
however, they say later you can sign a different contract about returns. They say they can return, if they don't sell, they can return them. Also, the wording, sort if they return all the books to you, first of all, you have to pay the shipping to get all those books back to you if you want them. And second of all, of course, the books are never going to sell. So the author's at $26,000
Yeah.
plus shipping.
So you pay $26,000, all these books get published, or
No, or
do
not.
they?
No, that's the thing
Okay,
is
or
you're
not.
going to pay $26,000 to somebody overseas. Those books are never going to get printed or shipped anywhere.
If they were printed and shipped and the bookstores said, "This ain't selling, we don't want them," when they talk about returns, I know our printer doesn't accept returns, or do they?
Well, it depends on the
A
publisher.
lot of places don't accept returns because they don't want to eat that profit either.
No, they don't.
So those returns come to you, the author,
Right.
and you have to pay to get those
But
returns.
again, this was a fake bookstore contract.
Exactly.
The
Yeah.
books were never going to be printed and shipped. If he had paid $26,000, those people would have ghosted him. He'd never hear from them again, and his $26,000 would be in some bank account in Pakistan or something.
So basically, here's the bottom line. When you go with any publisher and you publish your book, those books can end up in that bookstore all the same without you paying $26,000.
Well, that's the thing is that I explained in the article how they word it on that contract is not how it works. The
Yeah.
author doesn't pay for the printing. Go ahead, James.
No, I it, that that's a, you hit it on the head. It's not how it works. It's exactly.
Also, James pulled his research skills out of his pocket again. I sent him that contract. And James, what did you learn about that specific bookstore location?
It was closed. Shocker, shocker.
Right? Yeah.
But again, and this is not a criticism, but because I have to remember again, even though I had that lawyer's hat on, all this was new to me. But the average Joe doesn't know, hey, maybe I should Google this location and see if it's real. And lo and behold, that's very simple keystroke. And I find that the location's closed and it's been closed for several years.
There you go. Yeah.
Another thing that was kind of questionable in that contract was it said up to, I think this one was 105 locations, I can't remember, up to.
Up to,
So
which means one
one. They could
can
put
be
one book
up
in
to.
one store and they would meet that part of the obligation of the contract just based on the wording.
And you also mentioned in your article something about the royalty structure and who pays what, and the wording was
They had
all
it all
wrong, and
backwards.
that's explain that.
They had the bookstore paying the royalties to the
Okay.
author, which is just not how it works.
Yeah, authors or anybody who hasn't published a book yet, a bookstore does not pay you your royalties. Your publisher pays you the royalties. Basically, that book sells. The biggest chunk of the money goes to the printer.
Yeah.
The printer takes their cut, and then they give a chunk of that to the publisher.
Well, in this case, the book supposedly were already printed, okay, but the author paid for it. See, this shows you how backwards it is, okay? But in a traditional bookstore publisher relationship, the bookstore orders the books. The bookstore pays for them now, or they ordered on credit. When they sell a copy, they send money to the publisher, and then the publisher sends the royalties
Royalty
to the
to the
author.
author.
That is
Yeah.
how it works.
But in
And
this contract, it says that the bookstore is going to pay you
right.
X percentage of royalties, and it just doesn't even work that way.
Which shows that the scammer doesn't even understand how the industry works.
Yeah.
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 So.
Okay, so anything else on this big box bookstore scam?
Think we covered
That
it.
we did. Okay. So,
Yeah.
of course, if anybody has any questions, they can come on to writersweekly.com, go to our writersweekly.com/podcast page, and there will be a comment section, I believe, that you
Yeah,
can ask
comment
questions,
section.
or you can email Angela at
Or contact us at the top of the
angelabuchwalker.com.
website.
Yep. Okay. Facebook groups and the PM me approaches.
Oh,
Tell
James,
let's
you get to take this one.
you guys go ahead.
Wait, oh, private wealth. I mean, well, Angela, I'm just going to echo your sentiments. I mean, as soon as you see that somebody tries to get you to, send me a messenger or contact me on WhatsApp, that is just black letter scam.
Yeah.
It's there. It's beyond a red flag. There's no reason. I mean, it should be direct contact via email, direct contact via telephone. None of this, hey, PM me or do me a favor and reach out to me on WhatsApp. I mean, it's just a red flag.
Well, what's happening when people are asking to PM me? For those who haven't experienced this scam, walk me through it.
I'll take this one.
What is it? Okay, what
So it's
happens?
usually in a writers or authors group on Facebook or Instagram, or they're spreading out everywhere, and people are having a conversation. So one woman says, "Hey, I'm not sure if my character should have brunette or redhead, and which country should she live?" Just asking questions. Ask her advice about, here's something about my book, and right away, just boom, 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 all these posts under her post. Hey, that sounds like a great book. I can't wait to read it. We should really talk about it. PM me. That means private message me on Facebook. Those people, if they were truly wanted to talk about the book, they would do it in public. They are simply reaching out to that author, hoping that author will PM them and then get them started on the used car salesman verbiage. So,
Okay.
right, James?
Yeah, no, I agree. You're not going to do your dirty deed in public.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and that's usually how scammers want to work is they want you one on one and they want to pitch you,
That's why used
pitch.
car salesmen want you to come in and talk to them in
Come
person
sit
and
down in my
sit in your
office. Let me go
office.
talk to my manager. Yeah. Any reputable business person is going to have a website, a phone number, an email, something. Now, some of these scammers have these as well, so you have to be careful. But anybody that just rolls up to you on Facebook and starts hitting you with, you know, hey, you should PM me about your book, you need to be on guard.
Assume they're all scammers because they are.
If you know, if somebody's got a pitch that sounds impressive and you think this might be somebody that can help you out with your book, your writing, whatever, start doing some research first. You can always pay them your money tomorrow or tomorrow or next
or never.
You don't have to just hurry up and give them your money. Do some research.
Oh, yeah. And don't fall for the it's 60% off today or it's 90% off today. You got to sign up by midnight.
If they're rushing you to get it, to hurry up and give me your money now, then your red flags are definitely up there.
Right.
Do some research. And if you, and even if they, well, we've had lots of people writing Angela on email and on Writers Weekly saying, hey, you know, what about this place? Do you think they're a scam?
Unfortunately, I keep getting those emails, lots and lots of them. I'm happy to help people, but again, it'll be in a link under this episode. We already listed out on the website the 11 things to look for. It takes you 5 minutes to figure out if it's a scam or not.
Yeah. And if you're suspicious enough to think that you got to email Angela to find out whether something's a scam, there's a really good chance it's a scam.
Yeah.
That your senses are triggering enough that you're willing to write an email to somebody to ask to get your suspicions confirmed. Probably a good idea just to start looking elsewhere.
Yeah, you know? Or ask me where to look.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I can tell you I've received hundreds and hundreds of emails from authors. One was a legitimate publisher.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah. I'll be writing an article, I believe, next week for Writers Weekly. And basically the theme of it is if somebody comes to you on social media that you don't know, offering you anything that you didn't ask for, go away.
Yeah.
Don't
block them.
Because
don't respond to them.
You're going to get your money taken away and you're going to have nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
In that vein, I mean, if there's any takeaway for people who are listening, you hold the purse strings, and somehow we lose track of that as a prospective author. You hold the purse strings, but you know, like the car salesman, hey, this truck's not going to last very long. You better put $1,000 down on it, or it could be gone tomorrow. I can't hold this vehicle, and they create a sense of urgency or crisis that doesn't exist.
Right.
And for the human nature is that, oh my God, I've got to do this. I've got to do this now. I'm going to lose it.
I was in sales for a while and I got a lot of training in sales, and there are some things that they teach you. And one of them is go for the emotional part of things. Get into the person's emotions and get them emotionally involved. And two, create that urgency. You need to do this right now. Don't take time to think about it. You need to let's make this deal right now.
James has actually written about this for Writers Weekly. James, let's talk about the book being your baby and them using emotional tactics to try to get your money.
Angela had reached out to me. Obviously, she's asked me to pen a number of articles, and one of them, she asked me to take a look at the psychological aspect of why we react the way that we do with respect to getting caught up in these scams. And I started initially at a straight psychological academic, and it was like, you know, just it could put you to sleep. It was too complex. And so I thought to myself, you know, just reflect on what you did yourself. Brand new to the industry, the process, the whole prospect of authoring and penning a book, I've recited this, and I've said this to a number of referrals of people that have been scammed that Angela has referred to me. I mean, when you have that book in your hand, it is tantamount to a baby, a newborn baby. There is nothing that you won't do for that child. That's one analogy. There's another thing, and this is kind of technical, but it's true. Everybody is endowed with a component in their brain called the reticular activating system. In layman's parlance, it's a shit detector. In military in military parlance, it's a radar. It's your internal radar. It's called a reticular activating system. It's part of your fight or flight response. And for whatever reason, when we get caught up in that car purchase, that book purchase, that scammer, our reticular activating system, our internal radar gets jammed, and we make foolish decisions.
Because we love our book so much and we love our own writing so much for some people, and there is the pride factor. And
Yeah, no. Well, and I really loathe the term, and I have since I got involved in this vanity publishing, but it is our own vanity that gets us into trouble.
absolutely.
And for some reason, as my co-author never discussed anything that he, the initial contract, the amendments to the contract, and as you know, 99% of the time, people are coming us not to before the fact, but after the fact. It's too late. They've already been scammed.
Yeah, not much we can do for you after
You
you've
know
been scammed.
what we forgot to mention earlier was the scammer that you're talking about is Publishing Mojo.
Yes.
PublishingMojo.com. We have
Yes.
covered them extensively on writersweekly.com, and there's one extremely interesting article where we proved all their lies and all their scams, and they just stopped responding. So, yeah, definitely check them out on Writers Weekly. You will laugh out loud.
Let's move over to the famous author contacted me scam.
Okay, I got a new one this week.
You got another one this
I got
week?
another one this week. A woman emailed me and said this famous author, whose name I won't mention because it wasn't the
Yeah, well,
author,
ma'am.
contacted me through Facebook, private message, said, "I read about your book. I think it's awesome. I really think it can sell. And I'm a best-selling author, so I can teach you how to do that. And I'd really like to help you with your book." It wasn't that author. And then, what was it, a month ago? Identical scam. It was even more famous author. And if any celebrity author reaches out to you on Facebook, it is not that person. I mean, just cut and dry. Just block them,
Stephen
report them.
King's making enough money selling his books and movies. He doesn't need to make any money by having you pay him to help him with
Right, and
help you with your book.
he was not part of either one of
No,
those,
I get it,
but any famous author that reaches out to you is not that famous author. It's a scammer. And not only you want to block them, but first report them to Facebook as fraud.
you talked to somebody, or did you read about somebody who some celebrity had claimed to, well, somebody started writing to them on social media who claimed to be some celebrity. I think it was John, they claimed to be Johnny Depp,
Yeah.
and she bought it.
She
And
knew.
then he started with this, "I'm in the hospital. I don't have any money because of that big lawsuit that I went through, but
Don't have
I'm going to
that
have
again.
money soon, but I need some money right now. Can you tell?" And how much did she
She lost
send
over
him?
$100,000 because,
Over what?
and she kept sending him money.
I didn't hear you.
Over
Over
$100,000.
$100,000.
Because she thought that this, and this was an older lady,
Yeah.
she thought that this young, hot celebrity was being romantic with her.
Was this something you read about, or was this somebody that contacted you?
No, something I read about.
Somebody, okay. All right. So it's in all areas. It's not just in publishing. These people know how to push buttons.
Now, that segues us into we were contacted by somebody last week who the quote, actually, it was a quote editor who, of course, was not in the United States. Hired the person to edit his book, and the editor started getting romantic and started asking for money and other things that we won't mention on this podcast. Now, if you think about it and you've read those stories, if you do send those things that I'm pretty sure all of you know I'm talking about, then they have a way to blackmail you. So imagine getting blackmailed by a guy in Pakistan or India or wherever because you fell for the romantic language after you hired this editor or publisher or whatever. So that's another thing to watch out for. And if they start flirting with you.
Yeah, it's like apparently, I guess, if the business end or the business talk doesn't convince somebody to send money, some of these scammers will actually try the romantic attraction approach. And if they can hook you there, that's just as good. They'll just get you to send money directly to them.
Oh, yeah. What was that movie? Me Love You So Long.
That was
Full Metal Jacket.
That was Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
That
one of my favorite scenes ever.
Scammer. That was a
hook. No. Same thing.
Okay. Facebook groups are now being moderated by the scammers. Scammers are actually putting up Facebook groups.
Attracting a lot of authors
writers. Tell us about that, Angela.
And
James, jump in here anytime you need to.
Gotcha.
Okay.
They create a writer and author groups on Facebook, and they post messages like, this one I see this every day. Authors, it's Thursday, post your cover. And then authors will fall for it. They'll start posting their cover. And then under every cover, boom, boom, boom. Scammer, scammer, scammer. PM me. Mm-hmm.
And that plays back into this whole emotional thing. We love our books. We're so proud of the work that we did, that we have a book out that, yeah, you just say, share your book covers and they'll be glad to post it right there.
But here,
that basically puts a target on you.
Here's what I've seen, and I know James has seen it too. A lot of the scammers will use the exact same verbiage. Mm-hmm. I love your book. Your cover's beautiful. I'd really like to talk to you about your book. PM me. I mean, the exact same words under dozens of different names on Facebook, and they're all posting the same thing. James, you've seen that too, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how did you figure out that it's actually the scammers themselves that are hosting these Facebook groups?
If you go to the Facebook group and you look at who the moderators are and you look at what they've posted to those groups, it just, all the puzzle pieces come together.
So are the moderators hitting people up for PM me as well, or?
Some of them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Another red flag, I don't know if you put it on your list here, but if you can't pronounce their name and they're pitching publishing and editing services to you, that's a big red flag as well. It just really is.
And for those of you who are getting triggered right now, that is not a racist statement or a white privilege statement or anything. Mm-hmm. Think about it. If you're an American author who speaks English, why would you hire anybody that hasn't spoken English all their life as the first language to edit your book, to format your book, anything having to do with your book? Because if you put something out there that people can't read, then they're not going to read your book.
Well, and they're going to complain about the editing.
Yeah.
And James has firsthand experience with this, with Publishing Mojo.
Insofar as the English, you're making reference to mastery of the English language.
You were, they put your book on the market with errors.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, I actually, one of our editors was actually very competent, and I understood the corrections that he was making because he was taught formal British English. And I think I made reference to that earlier, but they, as a general rule, and again, to reiterate what Brian just said, it is not prejudicial. It's factual. They don't have a mastery of the English language, particularly when it comes to colloquialisms and items that I had changed over and over and over again. Boom! When that book came out published, it was just riddled with errors. I think the last count I had was 65 or 75 errors, and most of them related to syntax and colloquialisms. And obviously, they don't have a mastery of the English language.
Mm-hmm. Syntax is a big one. Also, you'll see a lot of syntax errors in the ads on Facebook and in posts on Facebook from foreign individuals that are trying to scam U.S. authors. And James's book, Publishing Mojo, they actually did send a print copy of the book to him. And so it was printed, but they had promised him, I think, 12 platforms. They only ever put it on Amazon. And so, but James, correct me if I'm wrong, they were upselling your co-author along the way, right?
They did put it on Amazon. They also surreptitiously put it on Barnes & Noble. And they backdoored Barnes & Noble because Publishing Mojo has been barred from being able to publish directly on Barnes & Noble. So they used, they backdoored Barnes & Noble through Draft to Digital. You can remember that poll.
Yeah, and then Draft to Digital contacted us and said that Publishing Mojo had been banned from their service, but they kept coming in under different names, correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've also had some of these scammers directly contacting us, some of whom are trying to defend their reputation, whatever that may be. Some trying to actually scam us into to stopping our scammer hunts. So let's start out with WordStratum. Why don't you tell us that story?
Hold on, let's go back to Publishing Mojo one more time.
Publishing Mojo.
When they were contacting me, trying to explain to me that the information in James's articles and my posts were incorrect, they actually sent us two messages through our contact me form wanting to write articles for Writers Weekly on how to teach authors how to publish a book. And they must have thought I just fell off the turnip truck. I mean, seriously, that was great. Okay, WordStratum, that's a new one. That came up just this week. I received an email from this company telling me that, you know, what I had on our extensive list of scammers that explain how they're scamming people, they said, you're wrong. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. We didn't steal other people's covers, et cetera, et cetera. The entire email is on Writers Weekly. I posted it last week, and I'll post a link to that under this episode as well. So I wrote back to him, and I was pretty snarky because I knew he was trying to get me to remove the article, and that wasn't going to happen. And I showed him, gave him screenshots. Here's what you did. Here's what you did. Here's what you did. He wrote back. He was so polite. By the way, he had excellent English and syntax. He was so polite and basically said, well, yeah, we did do that stuff, but we didn't mean to, so we changed it. So I slammed him again. I got to slap him twice in one day, and the whole exchange is online. So pretending to be Meta, that's another one. We have received two messages through our contact form. Did they use our contact form? Can't remember.
I know it came into your email, but that could have been any number of contact.
Yeah.
Forms.
So, and both the emails were extremely similar, except one had a misspelled word. And it said they were from Jennifer Newstead, who is the chief legal officer at Meta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the first one asked us to remove a link to an article on our website that we didn't have on our website, but it was a negative article about Meta. The second one was James's article, Facebook Fraud Fiasco. We'll put a link to that under this episode as well. But it wasn't Meta. It wasn't Facebook contacting us. It was the scammers.
They were specifically asking that we take off.
Okay, so we received two messages from, quote, Jennifer Newstead, who's the chief legal officer at Meta, who owns Facebook. We knew it wasn't her because it was a completely different email address and even somebody else's name, which I Googled, didn't take me anywhere with that. First email asked us to remove a link to an article for damages and privacy or something like that. I can't remember. I remember the word, you know, invasion of privacy, that in there. And, well, we didn't have that link to that article on our website. Also received almost an identical email from, quote, Jennifer Newstead, not from Jennifer. Same email address, had a misspelled word in it, asking us to remove James's article, Facebook Fraud Fiasco. The first article that they referenced, we clicked on it, of course, was a press release written by another law firm that had filed a lawsuit against Meta. So that was funny. And then, of course, we didn't remove James's articles because it's completely factual and it's awesome. And we figured out this was a scammer that wants us to stop talking about the scammers on Meta on Facebook and Instagram because it's clearly affecting their business. We are seeing a big pushback from authors and writers now. They're all on their toes because we've been screaming from the mountaintops. So is Victoria Strauss at writerbeware.org to alert people to what's going on Facebook and the fact that Facebook isn't removing these ads because they're making money on them.
And what the funny thing about these emails is they're claiming to be Jennifer Newstead, again, chief legal officer of Meta. But the email address was nothing like
something,
her name.
Oh, I know. We have
something
her email
completely,
address.
Not even from like Meta.com or anything that would indicate that it was actually coming out of the offices of Meta.
Yeah.
And they expected us to believe this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, I'm receiving emails through our contact form, and they're fake email addresses because it's usually, you know, angela@gmail.com or whatever. And they are trying to shame us into shutting down our advocacy work. Mm-hmm. Of course, that just makes us work harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The chick from Nigeria. I called out a scammer on Facebook. She private messaged me. She was incensed. And she private messaged me very nasty things. And I looked up where she was from. She was pretending
I think
she was
even
in the
accused
States.
You of being a scammer.
Yeah. I just click on, I go to her profile on Facebook, click on the About button. She's in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. She's pretending to be in the United States. She's pretending to offer editing services. Here's the funny thing is she also posted something angry to the group that I'd posted where I called her out as a scammer. And I took a screenshot of her website, of her profile, because the last post was in 2023. If that's not a red flag, I don't know what is. And she got very upset about that too. So, let's see what else we got on our list.
Even after you call some scammers out, they'll still try to, insist on helping you with your book.
Oh, it's nuts. There was one this morning and it was a scammer posting one of those show off your cover things. And the other scammer responded about something completely different. And I wrote underneath, you can't even keep track of all your scams. Somebody else wrote about, you know, like their mother-in-law was sick and just asking people to pray for the mother-in-law. And the scammer underneath said, "That your book sounds wonderful. Tell me all about your book." And I'm like, "You're a special kind of stupid, aren't you?" I mean, they're just copying and pasting. Yeah. If not, there might be bots doing this stuff. We have no idea.
That could be. Yeah. And then I think one of the ugliest sides of this is you actually have people on Facebook, other social media, who go after people that said they were scammed. Say, "Oh, we can help you get your money back. How much did you lose?"
James knows all about this one. Go for it, James.
Well, there's a pending article regarding this, but you know, they say it's always the second mouse that gets the cheese. But in this particular case, I said the second Facebook rat gets more than cheese. I mean, once you've been duped, we saw it with Leo collectively. My co-author, you know, he wants to exact retribution. He's been scammed twice.
Again, that's the emotional hook that they're going after.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then so now you have these this new cottage industry, if I could use that term, of
loosely
cottage legal cheese industry.
Yeah, cottage cheese. There you go. The yeah, they have about as much substance as cottage cheese. But in any event, you know, there's a new that, you know, they're going to prey on your emotions and you're wanting to get your money back. And so you have these bogus law firms or recovery firms. They call themselves recovery firms. And, you know, obviously for either an upfront fee or no fee, they want you to provide your banking information, your personal information, social security number, what have you. And they're just going to simply take money a second time. And to give you an idea, there's the anti-fraud law firm, which is on Facebook. There is the anti-fraud law firm 1, which is on Facebook. Which this is incredible because their recovery ratio rate is 90%. 40,000 individuals have been helped. That's impossible. And then you've got the anti-fraud alarm fraud firm three. You have the international scam recovery law firm. You have the global anti-fraud organization one, and the list
Incredible.
goes on. But here's the most glaring one that really was troubling to me. This is how, I don't want to say savvy, but how ruthless and ballsy these scammers are. And they'll stop at nothing. Latham & Watkins, one of the most venerated law firms in the world, the first law firm to exceed $3 billion in revenue, billing revenue, a powerhouse in New York City. I'm not going to say the attorney's name, although they used a real attorney's name. And not only did they use his name, they used his bar number, which is public knowledge. You can get a person's bar number.
Sure.
And so not, so when I looked at this, I said, holy cow, Latham & Watkins, man, this is a powerhouse, man. This is a real deal. And then not only that, they used a real attorney's name and a real bar number. And I researched all of it. It all penciled. And so I reached out to the law firm. When I went to the law firm's webpage, they do have a fraud warning on there. And I'm surprised that they don't take a greater interest on, which is kind of a head scratcher to me to shut these guys down. But I reached out to their security person, Travis Smith, and basically said, James, thank you for contacting the security team at Latham & Watkins. This is, in fact, a scam attempt. Don't communicate with this individual, and please report them to the platform's abuse, for scamming and phishing, blah blah blah. But I was just blown away because myself, as an attorney, as someone who's a predator hunter now, I was just blown away because I was like, didn't, come on, man. The average Joe is gonna, first of all, they're not gonna do the research that I did, but here I am second guessing myself, saying, hey, this is legitimate, man. This is Latham & Watkins. This is a venerated law firm. This is a real attorney with a real bar number. And only until I reached out to their security team, and obviously there was a level of skepticism that I did that,
Sure.
but it turns out that, I mean, so I hate to use the term savvy because how about ruthless and relentless? It's probably better because savvy is like a positive
A good
connotation.
point. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's unbelievable. It's unfathomable to me how the scammers just know no bounds. And they, let's say it is a guy in Pakistan, Cebu, or India, to have that wherewithal to go in, number one, identify one of the top law firms of the country. Number two, grab an attorney's name, live real attorney whose picture is on Latham & Watkins, page, and his bar number. I'm like, that is just diabolical.
Yeah, they are
And of
smart.
course, if I'm incensed enough, I just lost $13,000. My wife won't talk to me. My friends are chastising me. I am going to make this right. You go ahead and sign on, turn all that information over to this scammer, and guess what? You're going to get burned a second time. And that it's just, I mean, obviously you can tell the emotion in my voice. I'm just incensed, and I just find it incomprehensible. But there are no boundaries. There are
You
no boundaries.
mentioned the wife thing. We have heard from two victims of big time victims who one of them, the wife didn't know how much was he was scammed out of. That was a $74,000 one. And another one told us his wife was going to leave him because of what happened. So I can see people being that desperate to reach out for help. Oh, that's a big law firm. Sure, they're going to need my banking information, and by Monday morning, your bank is empty. You don't know what happened. And I did see one of the scammers on Facebook offering to help people who were scammed, quoted, after you get your money back, you have to pay us 20%. No, how they work is they have you sign a contract. You give them their bank information. They tell you, we're going to have the scammer deposit the money directly into your bank account. No, they're not. They're going to take all the money out of your bank account, and they'll be gone in an hour.
They're doing a lot more work than they used to, just emailing, thousands of people saying, I'm a prince in Nigeria, and if you just send me, $10,000, I'll send you $100,000.
Way more sophisticated.
They're putting a lot more thought and work into their product.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the bottom line with these scam recovery people is, even our federal government can't reach these scammers if they're overseas.
Yeah.
Now, I believe the federal government has the capability of shutting down people's websites, mm-hmm. and making it very hard for them to continue doing what they're doing on the internet. But as far as getting your money back, there is no legal possibility whatsoever of us,
if all that money's overseas,
forcing somebody overseas to give anybody's money back for anything.
Well, the government shut down that publishing scammer in the Philippines, and the owners are still arrested, but they had a U.S. bank account with $5 million in it.
Arrest those owners was because they flew into the United States, the continental United States.
Yeah.
Nobody was going to the Philippines to go arrest them. Clearly, the Philippines wasn't going to hand them over to us.
Right.
So
was a rare circumstance.
If our federal government can't go after these individual scammers to punish them for what they're doing to our citizens, how do you think some law firm's going to do it?
Right.
Or some guy just claiming to be, yeah, I'll get your money back for 20%. You know, how? How are you going to do it? You're gonna drop in there on a parachute in the middle of the night and kidnap the person and force them to give the money back? Because that's the only way I see it happening.
And they're using some kind of algorithm to see these posts instantly.
Yeah.
So I will go into a group and post an article that we just exposed a scammer, and I'll get boom, 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 hit with posts.
Yeah.
Oh, I see you got scammed. No, you didn't even read the title of the article. I didn't get scammed. Oh, you got scammed. Oh, yeah, I can help you out. I'm private messaging
keywords.
You. Yeah, they're instantly hitting me. And I know that authors who've been ripped off are falling for this stuff.
Well, of course, because once you've been ripped off, you'd do just about anything to get that money back and get a little payback on these people.
Including losing even more money.
That's why I'm saying even our federal government can't do it. So don't trust somebody else to do it for you.
Yeah.
Because it ain't going to happen. You lost, if you got scammed by someone overseas, your money's gone and you need to move on with your life. But trying to pay somebody else to go get that money back, you're going to lose even more.
Yep. James mentioned mouths in the cheese. We have a new article from James about this specific topic that will be put on Writers Weekly before this podcast goes live.
Okay.
And under the podcast, we will put a link to that article.
Great.
So he writes great articles. Also, final thing I want to mention, because there are so many writer and author groups on Facebook that are no longer trustworthy, even if they're moderated by honest people, they can't keep up with the scammers. We launched a new Facebook group today, and we will put the link under this episode as well. And it's called Authors Safe Harbor. And it will be it'll be a private group, heavily moderated by us, and we will keep you scammer and spammer free.
So. All right. Well, James, you got any closing thoughts for us before we end this?
The only thing that I wanted to add was when we made reference to scammers actually hosting sites. Not only do they host Facebook groups, but they also embed themselves in Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the two biggest ones that come out to me are Mighty Reader Review and KDP Boss, which I'm sure Angela knows KDP Boss. KDP Boss is embedded in Kindle Book Promotions, and Mighty Reader Review is embedded in indie author book promotions. And the only point that I wanted to make out or point out, let's say that right, The only point that I'd like to make, and Angela and I have had, we have some pretty intense discussions one on one, but the only thing I can offer to listeners is when ever, if ever, did a review compel you to purchase a book? And I don't say that demeaningly, or if that's a word, or condescendingly, but when, if ever, and here people are willing to shell out hundreds, if not thousands, for reviews. Angela, help me here. Who's the big one that that does the reviews? That's a quote unquote legitimate purchase. The point
Kirkus, yeah.
is
They
that
used to
I
be.
hope. Yeah, the point
They
is that I
charge
hope that,
now.
Yeah.
yeah. And what I want to tell readers or readers, listeners, is that when, if ever, did a review compel you to, absent Oprah Winfrey banging my book on a coffee table on national television, a review means very little. And then secondly, is that if you, as an author, feel compelled to throw good money after bad, or bad money after good, let's assume you had a positive publishing process, you have jeopardized your contract with the single largest platform, Amazon, if you ever pay for a review. It's prohibited by Amazon. And if you lose that platform, you've lost the largest platform to your audience for what? A
Yeah, when
review.
Amazon terminates your book, you're screwed.
You're
Yeah.
yeah, and so that's, and like I said, I know we've had these conversations, but I'm, unless it's some, CNN, ABC featuring my book and then, giving an astounding review, yeah, I might look into that. But I would be very leery of paying anything, particularly because you jeopardize the single largest forum, Amazon, to distribute your book. And I'll tell you right now, I'm sure that 99.9% of the people out there do not know that that's a huge error, that Amazon will terminate your publication.
I have been telling authors on writersweekly.com for 27 years now, never pay for book reviews. I do have,
That's pretty much a scam in and of
it
itself.
is.
Pay me money and I'm going to say nice things about your
Right.
book. I mean,
Never ever
come
pay for book reviews. You can destroy your own reputation. You
on.
can harm your publisher's reputation. And it's a complete waste of money because nobody's going to buy your book based on that review. Another thing I'll put a link to under this episode is I wrote an article, How to Get Really Good Blurbs About Your Book Without Paying a Penny That People Will Really Believe. And it's a great article. It's very popular. You don't have to pay anything to get blurbs for your book.
All right, well, we're going to wrap this up. I'm not even sure how long we went because we had some technical
That's
difficulties and
all
had to
right.
start some things over. So I got a lot of editing to do. But yeah, those of you that want to be on a writer's group on Facebook and don't want to have to worry about scammers hitting you up and infiltrating there, again, Angie, what's the name of that group going to be?
Authors Safe Harbor. It's authors with the apostrophe after the S, Authors Safe Harbor on Facebook. But if you just go, we'll be promoting it on Writers Weekly as well. But if you just go to the under this episode on writersweekly.com/podcast, we'll put a link to it, direct link to it.
Okay, and you can get a copy of James's book, Maximum Impact, on booklocker.com, or if you want, Amazon, it's there too.
And it's on many, many more platforms than Publishing Mojo promised
Lots and
him. It's
lots and
on
lots of
hundreds of
platforms.
platforms.
Yep, and nobody had
Oh,
to pay us $26,000 to do that.
Oh, I
Yeah.
wanted to add that since James and I had become friends and I saw what Publishing Mojo was doing, we published his book for free.
Look at that.
Yeah, well,
That was good on them.
look how much good he's done for our readers
Yeah, absolutely. We got a
and for
heck of
authors
a
on
return
Facebook.
on
He
investment
certainly
there. Yeah.
deserved it. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Dave.
Justin, well, I can't get let her get away because I know Angela shies away from the limelight when it's positive, but I have to scratch her back and all of the team members at at Book Locker because, as I mentioned earlier, I don't like the term vanity publishing because it has a negative, very negative connotation in my mind, but I call it palliative publishing because Angela fixed what was broken. And my co-author, I mean, the bottom line is he got screwed, and we were very fortunate because of Angela's work and my work to at least recoup a substantial portion of that money, but which is the exception and not the rule. But
Absolutely.
yeah, I mean, which what a Buzz Press and Book Locker did for myself and my co-author is just beyond commendable, and it's really turned into a great relationship, and I hope it inures to the benefit of hundreds, if not thousands, of listeners and readers, just because our objective is to put an end to this mess because Facebook is irreparably, well, I shouldn't say irreparably because we're holding on to the hope that it will be corrected at some point, but
Maybe
is
Elon Musk will buy
indelibly tarnished right now. I mean, it's just a cesspool.
Yes, it
Yeah,
is.
definitely.
I want to mention that Abuzz Press is an imprint of booklocker.com. Some people don't know that. So, well, thank you, James. That was all
Yeah,
very sweet,
James,
and
thanks
we
for
love working with you.
being on board with us today. And I'm just trying to think of anything else that I need to plug. Nope, that's
Oh,
it.
we've covered everything.
All right. Well,
Yeah.
we thank every one of you for joining us as well. Please click that like button if you're listening on YouTube. If you're listening on any of the other platforms, give us a 5-star rating. That'll help us share this information with more and more people. Also, we'd love to hear your comments. Writersweekly.com/podcast. You get on there and comment on that page. Angela, it's been fun.
Been fun. It's always fun
James,
to talk to James.
thanks for
Boy,
joining us.
we laugh and laugh.
Long
And
time in the making. Well,
no phone,
if we don't laugh, we'll cry.
right. Gosh, no phone call that we have lasts for less than an hour. We laugh and laugh. Great friend. Awesome friend.
Right, and thanks to all of you for listening to us, and we will be back next week with another episode of the Writers Weekly podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Take care.